Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Assisted dying could become legal in England and Wales after the Terminally Ill Adults Bill was backed by MPs in an historic vote in the House of Commons this afternoon. The End of Life Bill received 330 yes votes compared to 275 no's in the House of Commons, a majority of just 55. It means the legislation will now progress to the committee stage for scrutiny, and the House of Lords will be given opportunities to express views on the measure before it potentially becomes UK law. The bill would allow adults who are terminally ill with just 6 months left to live to request medical assistance to end their lives. In a moment, we'll speak with Labour MP Liam Conlon, who voted against this bill. But first, I want to come to John Rentoul, who's chief political commentator with The Independent and who joins me now from Westminster. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello there.
Now, the opening of this debate, Labour backbencher Kim Leadbetter said it was about giving people, dying people, choice, autonomy and dignity, saying that the current law was failing them. What else did you hear from both sides of the debate today?
Well, it was a very unusual debate conducted very respectfully on both sides, actually. And some of the best contributions, I thought, were from MPs on both sides who accepted the sincerity and the good motives of the people who disagreed with them. I thought that was one of the really striking features of the debate. A number of very good speeches by new MPs, Liam Conlon among them. In the end, the vote was decisive. I mean, a majority of 55 was enough to settle that question.
Yeah, it was unusual, though, wasn't it, John? Because it was a free vote.
Yes, and all parties were divided. I mean, and I mean all, because even Reform, which only has five members, three of them voted in favour, and two of them, including Nigel Farage, voted against. Labour, you know, overwhelmingly in favour, but large numbers against. And the Tories are overwhelmingly against, including Kemi Badenoch, the leader.
Stay with me if you can, John. I have with me, as I said, Liam Conlon as well, MP. You're very welcome, Liam, to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Disparate views across the House, within parties even, as John told us. You share the no lobby, I think, with Kemi Badenoch and Jeremy Corbyn.
I did. I mean, I think as John said, look, it was a strange feeling walking through the lobby in some ways, because I've been so used to looking around and just seeing Labour MPs. But it was a real mix today. We had, you know, looking around, I had Conservative MPs. I'm a London MP. The majority of Labour MPs in London voted against. There were MPs there from the Liberal Democrats and Independents as well. So, it, as John said, it really cut across party lines on this. But it was a really respectful debate, which, you know, was conducted in good faith, actually.
That seems to be very much a theme of the reporting on the debate as well. Why did you vote the way you did, Liam? If you could synopsize.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I'll just start by saying when I was elected in July, I didn't think I'd be spending so much time in the first five years, let alone the first 5 months, on end-of-life care and death. And I've taken a lot of time to meet with people and to consider all the different arguments and perspectives involved. I support the principles of choice and control. And if the vote today had been on principle, I probably would have voted for. The reason I voted against is... I think that any change in the law, especially one as significant as this, should be considered, you know, not just on the words of the page of the bill, but how it's going to be applied and then the people and systems who are going to implement it. And I don't think that that's happened in this case, and that's why I voted against. You know, before I became an MP, I campaigned with the Hillsborough Law Coalition, which included families affected by the Infected Blood scandal, Windrush, Grenfell, nuclear test veterans, and many more. And I don't believe we should assume the state or state services as being benign or inherently good. You know, they can go wrong, and history teaches that. And that's why I would like to have seen a much better assessment on the practicalities and cost of the proposal, which we simply did not get today, and that's why I voted against.
The people who voted for, and some of them extremely articulate and eloquent arguments were made, according to various reports, but they say this is about dignity at end of life and autonomy, and those who are terminally ill with just 6 months left to live, that they'd have the right to request medical assistance to end their lives. And those in favour of the bill said they should have that right to do so. I'm not saying that you agree with anything that I'm saying here, but what on the opposite side, or who made the most compelling argument on the yes side to your mind?
There's a consensus on that. I think that we've just had a national conversation in Britain, probably for the first time that I can remember anyway, and created a new consensus for better end of life and palliative care. I don't think anyone who made a contribution today believes that everyone in Britain dies with dignity. The case for change on that is something that unites us all. The difference is on how we think we're going to achieve that. Our NHS justice system in Britain are not in a good place. We have a government that's prioritised investing and reforming our NHS and social care. The choice is important. I mentioned a minute ago that I'm all for the principle of choice. But it has to be choice between, you know, world-class palliative care and then, you know, an alternative, rather than, I think, the risk of people. And we have also very stark health inequalities in Britain, particularly affecting Black and minority ethnic and disabled people, between insufficient palliative care and a lack of dignity at end of life, and then, you know, taking this decision for assisted dying.
So what happens next? I mean, it goes on to the next stage, doesn't it? Your party colleague, yeah. Kim Ledbetter, she said that there needs to be a thorough and robust committee now to scrutinise all of this. But she's obviously hopeful, as are many of your colleagues, that it's going to progress through the Houses. I mean, will you continue your opposition to this now?
My focus, and I know that many colleagues who voted against today, my focus will be on ensuring that the concerns that we have are addressed and in any way that we can. And I think there'll be a committee, and that committee, and Kim, who is a very good friend of mine, has said that that committee will bring together people who've voted for, who voted against, who've abstained. And so we can make sure that the different perspectives are reflected in the next stage. And I really hope that we can, the bill will be strengthened and improved. There were also a lot of people today, by the way, who said, and this was an argument that was made in the chamber on multiple occasions, where people said, you know, if in doubt, vote for it to give it the space that it needs to be strengthened and scrutinised. So actually, you know, I think it's possible that if that doesn't happen, that more people could vote against it at the next stage.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you one other question before I move back to John Rentoul, Liam? Do you think this issue, because it's so serious and so solemn, is being discussed at arm's length from other political issues in the UK? Because it seems to me that there has been disagreement, but respectful disagreement, across the House and across society even. And I would juxtapose that with the Brexit issue, which was divisive and toxic right across the UK.
Yes. I mean, I think if you listened back to the result today, what really struck me was when the result was announced. You know, Parliament, the House of Commons, is often theatrical. When the result was announced today by the tellers and the Speaker read out the numbers, there were no cheers. It was silent. And I think people really understood the gravity of what we're discussing. And, you know, I've had over 1,000 emails in the last few weeks from constituents. That's more than any other issue since I've been elected. And some of the stories I've read have really stuck with me. They have been deeply personal and very moving. And I think we've all carried that with us today in the chamber. And you know, that has shaped the way that we've you know, behaved in the chamber and behaved towards each other. And actually the discussion across the country has been really respectful and motivated by compassion from all sides.
Okay, Labour MP Liam Conlon, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. I might grab you for one more moment, John Rentoul of The Independent. Where do you think this will go now? And you've years of experience at looking at political issues. But will this be...
I don't have years of experience of private members' bills on such controversial topics.
So
This is a one-off. But I think the majority of 55 is enough to carry it through the remaining stages in the Commons, and I think that will, you know, such a decisive vote that I think that will impress the House of Lords. I don't think the House of Lords will want to go against the democratically elected chamber.
And when would this become law then?
Well, I mean, Kim Leadbeater talks about it becoming law in 6 months, but I think that is highly, highly optimistic. I think it could take a year or longer.
Okay. John Rentoul, Chief Political Commentator with The Independent, and Liam Conlon, who's Labour MP in the House of Commons. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us.